Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to look at two chapters of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 4, and I'm going to read them to you now. Once again the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to walk through it. Jonah started through the city, and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. When the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. He sent out a proclamation to the people of Nineveh. "This is an order from the king and his officials. No man is to eat anything. All persons, cattle, and sheep are forbidden to eat or drink. All persons and animals must wear sackcloth. Everyone must pray earnestly to God and must give up his wicked behaviour and his evil actions. Perhaps God will change his mind. Perhaps he will stop being angry and we will not die." God saw what they did. He saw how they had given up their wicked behaviour. So he changed his mind and did not punish them as he had said he would. And now we see how Jonah responded. Jonah was very unhappy about this and became angry. So he prayed, "Lord, didn't I say before I left home that this is just what you would do? That's why I did my best to run away to Spain. I knew that you were a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not punish. Now, Lord, let me die. I am better off dead than alive." The Lord answered, "What right have you to be angry?" Jonah went out to the east of the city and sat down. He made a shelter for himself and sat in the shade, waiting to see what would happen to Nineveh. Then the Lord made a plant grow over Jonah to give him some shade so that he would be more comfortable. Jonah was extremely pleased with the plant. But at dawn the next day, at God's command, a worm attacked the plant and it died. After the sun had risen, God sent a hot east wind and Jonah was about to faint from the heat of the sun beating down on his head. So he wished he were dead. "I'm better off dead than alive," he said. But God said to him, "What right have you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah replied, "I have every right to be angry, angry enough to die." The Lord said to him, "This plant grew up in one night and disappeared the next. You didn't do anything for it and you didn't make it grow, yet you feel sorry for it. How much more then should I have pity on Nineveh, that great city? After all, it has more than 120,000 innocent children in it, as well as many animals." This is the text. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Today we conclude our journey through the book of Jonah. Perhaps a little earlier than expected. Perhaps somewhat abruptly, but that is how the story ends. No resolution, no tidy moral, just the prophet sitting in the sun, angry at God's mercy, and a question hanging in the air. Should I not be concerned about that great city? It's a strange way to end a story. But maybe it's the only way this story could end. Because Jonah is not just a tale about a runaway prophet or a repentant city. It's a story about God. And God doesn't always wrap things up the way we expect. Jonah is left sitting outside Nineveh, arms crossed, heart conflicted, and God still speaking. There's no final word from the prophet, no repentance, no resolution, just a divine question that refuses to go away. And maybe that's the point. The story isn't finished. Not for Jonah, not for Nineveh, not for us. Chapter 3 is the moment when everything shifts. Jonah finally obeys. He walks into Nineveh, a brutal pagan city, and preaches a message only 5 words long in the Hebrew language. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. No poetry, no compassion, just warning. And then something remarkable happens. The people listen. From the king to the cattle, the city repents. They fast, they pray, they turn from violence, and God sees it. God responds and God spares them. It's one of the greatest revivals in Scripture. 120,000 people in unison turning to God. And Jonah should be thrilled. Any preacher would be. But he's not. Jonah is angry. Not because the people ignored him, but because they listened, because God forgave and grace won. This tells us something important. Obedience doesn't always mean agreement. Jonah obeyed God's command, but his heart wasn't in it. He delivered the message, but he didn't want it to succeed. And yet God used it anyway. That's grace, not just for Nineveh, but for Jonah. God works through reluctant prophets. God speaks through imperfect messengers. God brings life even when we're dragging our feet. Jonah wasn't surprised by Nineveh's forgiveness. He was angry because he saw it coming. Jonah 4 verse 2, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's the heart of his frustration. Jonah didn't run from God because he feared failure. He ran because he feared success. He knew that if he preached, even reluctantly, God would respond with mercy, as he always did. And Jonah didn't want Nineveh to receive it. This wasn't a theological misunderstanding. Jonah knew very well God's character. And he threw it back in God's face because he didn't want that character applied to Nineveh. It's a sobering moment. A prophet of God angry not at sin, but at grace. Not at rebellion, but redemption. And it forces us to ask, are there people we would rather see not forgiven? Are there groups, generations, or individuals that we have quietly written off? Are there parts of our city that we have stopped praying for? Jonah's anger wasn't about Nineveh's evil. It was about God's goodness. And that's what makes this story so confronting. Because God's grace is not just relentless, it's indiscriminate. It reaches the undeserving. It moves toward the outsider. It forgives before we are ready. And sometimes that grace exposes our limits more than our love. God gives Jonah a vine for shade, and then God takes it away. And Jonah is furious. I wish I were dead. And God responds, you cared about the vine, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Should I not care about Nineveh? It's a simple comparison. Jonah is upset about a plant. God is concerned about a city. Jonah's comfort mattered to him, but God's compassion stretches farther beyond that. For those of us who have been in the church a long time, this hits close to home. We've built things, ministries, traditions, relationships that have given us comfort. And when those things change or fade, it's hard. We grieve. We get frustrated. We wonder what God is doing. But God's concern is always greater than our comfort. God is looking at the city and the people who don't know him yet, at the ones we might overlook. The vine was temporary. God's love for Nineveh was eternal. Jonah's anger was small. God's mercy was vast. And the question remains, will we care about what God cares about? Jonah never answers the question. The book ends with silence. And maybe that's intentional, because the question isn't just for Jonah, it's for us. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Should God care about people who've made a mess of their lives? Should God forgive those who have ignored him? Should God show mercy to those we think don't deserve it? The answer, of course, is yes, but it's not always easy to say it, especially when we're tired, especially when we've seen a lot, especially when we've been faithful and we feel like others haven't. But grace isn't about fairness. It's about God's character, and God's character is always mercy. This is the moment where the story turns towards us, not just as readers, but participants. The question God asked Jonah is now ours to answer. Jonah's story ends with a question from God and a question from us. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Should we not be concerned about the great city of Adelaide? Not just its skyline or its suburbs, but its people, its families, its young adults drifting from faith, its elderly who feel forgotten, its migrants navigating new lives, its sceptics and seekers and those who've never heard the gospel in a way that made sense to them. Should we not be concerned about the loneliness in aged care homes, the anxiety in university lecture halls, the quiet grief in hospital waiting rooms, the spiritual hunger behind the polite smile? God sees Adelaide not just as a project, but a people. Not as a problem, but as a place where grace can flourish. And God's question to Jonah becomes his question to us. Will we care? Will we stretch? Will we let go of comfort to make room for compassion? Will we be a church that doesn't just survive but serves? Will we be a people who don't just gather but go? Because the relentless grace of God is not finished with Adelaide. It's still reaching, it's still forgiving, and it's still calling. And the story isn't over. So we end this series not with a full stop, but with a comma. Not with Jonah's silence, but with God's question. Not with our comfort, but God's compassion. Because the relentless grace of God is not just a theme for a sermon series, it's a movement. It's unfinished. It's unfolding. And it's your move. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.